Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Some exciting programming for you today. You know, we keep finding out, it's like cell phones, you know, it's like we learn about cell phones. It's such a good thing, it's such a good thing. How did we ever get by without them? Oops, it's not such a good thing. Computers, what about computers? What are we going to find out about the screens of computers soon? Well, today I want to bring you some very interesting information about chemistry. I am an amateur chemist. When I say amateur, I mean rank amateur. I love chemistry. I love the idea of how it works. I love how things get together and fall apart. And I see the world in form of chemistry. I see love, but I see love as chemical, and I see it also. It doesn't mean I don't see emotional. But chemistry, I mean, think about chemical reactions. There are many different kinds of chemical reactions. When you put two things together, you could have a synthesis. That's where you have product A and product B to go together. And what they wind up with is AB. Like, you know, if you were to put together soap and water, you wind up with soapy water. Or you could have a decomposition. It's also called analysis, where they separate completely. Or you could have combustion, where you put two things together and they blow up because of the extra oxygen. Or you could have displacement, where a person, where something is put together and the other thing is reduced by it. There are energetic exchanges between chemistry. So every time you do anything, it's some kind of a chemical reaction going on inside you. Just think about people you know. You get together with somebody you know, you could have a synthesis. It means the two of you get together and you're terrific together. You really enjoy each other. You could have a decompensation. A decomposition would be you get together with your mother and you feel like you're a baby. Or you could have a combustion. You get together with somebody and you have an explosion. Or you could have a displacement. You get together with somebody and you lose your personality. Or they lose theirs. All of these are chemical reactions, molecular reactions that get changed. There's also a thing called neutralization, by the way. And that's when you put two things together and the result is an isomer of the original compound, but something that is absolutely nothing. It's like a plus and a plus become a minus. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So chemistry of people, love, emotions, how people get by, it's what interests me. I love people. I love people the way they are. They're fascinating to me. So I've spent some recent time doing more and more research on brain chemistry and how it affects us and what we're like and how our behaviors affect us. And of course, I've been reporting on, since I report so much on love and emotions and feelings, I've been looking at the biochemical oxytocin. Now, we've mentioned this a great deal. Oxytocin is that bonding chemical. It's the thing that when you have a high amount of oxytocin, you feel bonded to another person. Let me go over it again because something dramatic, very important, appeared related to this. It affects your life. Oxytocin is produced in the hypothalamus, released into the blood from the posterior lobe of the pituitary gland in both sexes, especially during orgasm. Right? So now you have this brain is working. Here you are. You think orgasm has to do with genitals. The real thing that takes place is in the hypothalamus and the pituitary. You didn't know that, right? Massage my pituitary. So you get this release of cerebrospinal fluid that is oxytocin. Now, this stuff goes through you, and the feeling of it is fantastic. You feel connected. The only thing about oxytocin is it has a half-life of about 3 minutes in the blood. So you feel bonded for 3 minutes. Now, you could be bonded beyond that. But as an anti-stress function, oxytocin reduces blood pressure, reduces cortisol, increases tolerance to pain, and reduces anxiety. So is sex important in marriage, in relationships? Well, I don't know how important it is, but it certainly makes you have lower blood pressure, increased tolerance to difficulties, and reduces anxiety. PET scans of human volunteers showed that both women and male orgasm shut down areas in the brain associated with fear and anxiety, which is the amygdala. So if you're somebody who's a very nervous type, nervous, Nelly, you know, always living in fear, that's an overactive amygdala. Orgasm shuts it down. For the moment, I don't worry. Is it little wonder that we have people who are addicted to sex? They must have. We think it's about sexuality. It's really not. It's about trying to find some balance for your being, trying to find yourself feeling decent. Oh, friends, you do whatever you can. In other functions, oxytocin receptors in the brain are instrumental in social recognition and bonding. This is important. Because once you have a connection between oxytocin and a form, an image, a recognition, then that image will always produce it. So you can see yourself over and over again falling in love with the same kind of person, the same appearance, the same look. I like a tall person. I like a short person. I like a thin person. I like a fat person. I like a dark person, a light person. It's all the oxytocin talking. Now, this is just the beginning of today, but this is not what's important about what we're presenting. Today, new news now. This is almost, to me, it was shocking. Do you remember? You're going to answer my question, aren't you? Last week, I did a program on triangulation. I talked about the triangle that people have in families. Man and woman have a child, and the father and the daughter take sides against the mother. The father and the mother and the son take sides against the father. Common triangulation. Sisters take side against other sisters. A triangle. Why does this happen? How does this happen? Well, here we finally found something new. Let's go back to oxytocin. This tiny chemical released from the hypothalamus gives most animals the urge to nurse their pups. It makes the prairie voles, which are the animals, the prairie animals, monogamous. It makes people trust each other more. If you can have an oxytocin release right now, if you could have a glass of oxytocin, you trust me more. You trust the guy sitting next to you more. Usually, it's between two people. An oxytocin release will engender trust, but there is a catch, and here's what we discovered today. Oxytocin comes into sharper focus. Its social radius of action turns out to have definite limits. The love and trust it promotes are not towards the world in general, just towards a person's in-group. And in fact, it may be just towards one person. The disadvantage of oxytocin, here we go, is that it is possibly alienating you from everybody around you. Now, this begins to make sense when you think about it. Because if you ever see two people in love and how they seem like they're separated from the world, they seem completely separated. And what does that mean? What is that all about? How are they separated? Why are they so antagonistic towards everything around them? Yes, so oxytocin, it seems, that when you have this trust between two people, it doesn't necessarily extend to other people, like universal brotherhood. Psychologists trying to specify its role now have concluded it's an agent of ethnocentrism. A principal author on the new take on oxytocin is a man named Carlston de Drew, a psychologist at the University of Amsterdam. He says there must be limits of oxytocin's ability to induce trust, and he set out to define them. And what he published in his magazine was that there is a certain level of trust, but then after that, it stops. Now, here's one thing we assume. We assume that if we belong to a club and somebody else belongs to that club, we bond with them. You know, you have a brotherhood of in a school, you have a sisterhood, you have a clan, a group. You feel together with them. Does that automatically mean you feel embracing people around you, that makes you richer and nicer? But in a way, it begins setting up an antagonism towards the rest of the world. There is something about bonding that's not so hot, because it kind of almost puts people on the outside. They use Muslims and Germans as the outgroups. The nationalities were chosen because of a 2005 poll that showed 51% of Dutch citizens held unfavorable opinions about Muslims, and the other surveys that German, although seen by the Dutch as less threatening, were nevertheless regarded as aggressive, arrogant, and cold. Now, the well-socialized Dutch students might be unlikely to say anything derogatory about either group. So one set of Dr. Drew's experiments tapped into the unconscious mind by asking subjects simply to press a key when shown a pair of words. One word had either positive or negative connotations. The other was either a common Dutch first name like Peter, or an outgroup name like Marcus or Helmut for the German, or Ahmed as Yusuf for the Muslims. What is measured is the length of time a subject takes to press the key. And that kind of shows you whether or not there is an antagonism. Subjects who had sniffed a dose of oxytocin 40 minutes earlier were significantly more likely to favor the in-group than they did the out-group. So what that means is it sets up a prejudice, the potential for prejudice. And this is kind of remarkable. Oxytocin, bonding, love. How could I be suddenly feeling antagonistic towards other people? How could that be? In another set of experiments, the Dutch students were given moral dilemmas in which a choice may be made whether to help a person into an overloaded lifeboat, which would thereby drown the five already there, or save five people in the path of a train by throwing a bystander on the track. Only the Dutch would do this. In Dr. de Drew's experiments, the five people who might be saved were nameless, but the sacrificial victims were always Dutch or German. It would be either a Dutch or a Muslim name. Subjects who had taken oxytocin were far more likely to sacrifice the Muslims than they would the Dutch. So here's the way we see it. We see if somebody's got to die, if you have the bonding chemical, you feel so connected to your own group that you lose your judgment. Despite the limitation on oxytocin's social reach, its effect seems to be achieved more through inducing feelings of loyalty to the in-group than by forming hatred of the outgroup. But this is a very big question. In other words, feeling part of a club, feeling together, feeling united, feeling, you have to watch yourself. you have to kind of see if you start feeling exclusivity. And one of the things we find is that what it suggests is the more love you have, the more bonding you have, the more you have to watch yourself for limiting yourself with other people. Many of you know what it's like to have a relationship with somebody and want to stay away from your parents. You don't want to go anywhere near them with your relationship. You want to keep your relationship private. Or other, you know this about staying away from your friends. How many people get married and then they stop visiting their friends? The phenomenon here that I'm kind of interested in is that this bonding chemical can, in some way, if we're not watching it closely, alienate us from the people that we care about a lot, which could be the whole world. So love could be dangerous to somebody who is of a very big heart, because it means you begin limiting yourself. And how many times have you felt that? How many times have you felt you get in a relationship and you begin to die a little bit? You begin to shrivel a little bit. Shrivel is, I think, the right word. You have a grand love, but a shriveling self. And the people around you and say, where are you? What happened to you? How come I can't be in touch with you? And you don't reach out. Some people have relationships where it's kind of automatic that your partner kind of resists you with they say something bad about everybody you know. That may all be part of this oxytocin effect. They don't mean to do it, but the idea is they feel alienated from everyone. So love may be a great alienator. One used to think that if somebody is in love, they'd be generous in the world. What this suggests is that that may not be true. That when you're in love, you're stingy. You're less generous, less giving. Some of you will have experience with that, so I'm going to take your phone calls today, because today is a day when we're going to be able to take phone calls, and it may be the last day in a few shows. So our telephone number is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. A man named Bruno Averbach, an expert on the brain's emotional process at the National Institute of Mental Health, said that the effects of oxytocin described in Dr. Drew's report were very, very interesting, because the brain weighs emotional attitudes like those prompted by oxytocin against information available to the conscious mind. And he says it's not necessarily true that the prejudice will be acted out. Dr. Averbach said that there is choice that we have in it if we're conscious, but I know an awful lot of people who have no consciousness at all. Just none. They just follow their feeling. You know this thing about follow your gut? That's a mistake. Your gut doesn't lead you. That's your chemistry. That's just telling you what to run away from, what to run towards. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to start taking your calls. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. This is Jeremy.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, I was very interested to hear. I actually wrote an article about the oxytocin with regards to love, and I had a different spin on it in terms of giving, because I was turned on to the notion of this neurochemical through massage therapists who release an excess amount of this chemical more so than the recipient of the massage.
Very interesting. So in other words, the masseur or masseuse has more oxytocin than the misogynist. No.
Yeah.
Than the
misogynist. And I found that very interesting, because I understand, you know, the desire to, when the mammalian pair bonding, it was actually a show on WBI that was talking about the bond between humans and other mammals, non-human mammals, and
sure,
that the release was the same or more, and that they were using dog therapy and animal therapy with veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, specifically to release that chemical, and the bonding itself was actually reducing their need for medication, as you know, as post-traumatic stress sufferers greatly.
What's your name?
My name is Jeremy.
Jeremy, what's your last name?
Shockley.
Shockley, so people could look up your article that you wrote.
It's on my website.
Jeremy Shockley. So, Jeremy, so this is fascinating because as we're seeing it now, yes, we know if you use your hands and you pet a cat or you pet a dog, you get an oxytocin release, you feel bonded to the animal. The animal doesn't necessarily feel bonded to you, but you feel bonded to the animal. And you get this bonding feeling and you could relax. What it's also saying, though, is that although it is relaxing you, it may be alienating you.
Hmm.
And that's what I find fascinating. That's today's.
Now, would you attribute that to the actual process of the chemical release, or perhaps that release of that feeling of bonding is perhaps stimulating a deficiency in an emotional deficiency in the lack of healthy bonding in general, making them one act in a more controlling? Because you were mentioning about the idea of mm-hmm. the shriveling, meaning wanting to protect that source of the bond, that being more clutching to it because you don't trust the fact that you're going to get it through the rest of your life. And I can personally attest to that in my past relationships. I know that feeling, which is what inspired me to call, was that idea of shriveling. And for me, it was more of a protective feeling because I didn't trust that I was going to be able to get that anywhere else because I had found it in a singular romantic relationship.
Jeremy, what a wise man you are. You've looked at yourself in such depth. I really feel proud of you. That's great to be able to ask yourself those questions. I would have the same question as you. Which is it? You know, or is it both? Which is what they always come up with as an answer. You know,
right.
But it could be chemical automatic, or it could be deeply emotional. But even on the deeply emotional, it also becomes chemical, you know? But Jeremy,
I would say you couldn't ignore either, but my only thought of bringing up the masseuse is then do masseuse become possessive of the people getting massages? You know, that's
yeah, right. I mean, who should pay who?
Right.
Hey, Jeremy, do you have a love in your life nowadays?
No, not actively. No, I don't.
Yeah, not actively. Do you think there's anything inside you preventing you from allowing that to happen to you now? Do you have some attitude that says, I just don't want it?
No, absolutely not.
You're open.
I want a healthy, balanced family level of intimacy relationship, and I'm not willing to accept less, which means that some things that I would normally pass as romantic relationships have turned into good friendships, rather than sort of artificially applying the need for that intimacy. And I make sure that I do have a dog and with his wife, the mammalian pet bonding, but also I make sure that I don't place the responsibility for that feeling of bonding and feeling of being responsible in a relationship exclusively to romantic. And that's something that I did in the past, which kind of did that alienating shriveling for the rest of my life.
Jeremy, you're a very wise man. Make sure you respond to my Facebook because I'm sure there are people who might want to speak to you or get the article.
So I should find you on Facebook then?
Yeah, find The Positive Mind on Facebook. Look it up and there'll be a thread and you could respond to the thread and people could respond to you.
All right, sounds great.
Jeremy, thanks for calling.
Sure, bye-bye.
212, isn't it amazing how we have such a group of people who pay attention to themselves? So you could be an old student or a new student. We welcome students. 212-209-2900.
Turn your radio down, please.
212-209-2900. Turn your radio down, please. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Barbara. How are you, Armand?
Hello, Barbara. I'm fine.
I like your show a lot. I really think you're speaking authentically to this good subject. Unfortunately, I just got a divorce. It just was final in December from a man who comes from a large family. And I came from a family where my father died and when I was 7, so I really didn't have a lot of major attachments. So when this man fell in love with me, I thought I was going to be part of his family and his world, but the family didn't take to me, and it really destroyed the marriage. But the life I was trying to create with this man in this town, with all the friends that I made, because I'm a very outgoing person, and I've made such great friends. I thought he would want to be friends with my new friends, but instead he told me he didn't like any of the people that I liked, and he discounted all my ambitions, and now he's back with his family, you know? And you know, now I have to raise my two boys alone, but that probably won't be for long, but I am, you know, glad I figured this whole thing out.
Yes, it's kind of great that you were able to find out early on. You know,
yeah, it's been 12 years.
It's early on enough to know. Some people have this bond with their families, and the bond is so strong with their families that they forbid to let anybody else in under any circumstances.
You know, he kept me away from them, saying, don't worry, when we get married, we're never going to see them. And, you know, I believed a lot of what he said, and then we bought a house out in Pennsylvania, and then they bought into the house, and we saw them all the time. So it was, and then they didn't like me, and I didn't understand his relationship with them at all until we were deep in the marriage, and they control him. So I wasn't respecting my husband then, you know?
What's your name?
I'm Barbara.
Barbara, let me ask you something. Nowadays, you're out of the situation.
Well, just recently.
Yeah, you're removed from it.
Yes.
Do you feel a sense of relief to be out of it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What's the primary felt difference that you have? By felt, I don't mean what you think. What do you feel that's different?
Well, I reinforced, you know, my attributes and was able to clearly see them muffling through a horrible divorce because he was very mean and controlling with the money, still is. But now I can teach my boys, you know, greater lessons than Chris has ever learned. And that, to me, that's a winning thing.
Well, I'll tell you what your next step is, Barbara.
What? Tell me.
Your next step will be when you could talk about him only with respect. Let me tell you why.
I see.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's an unfortunate guy, your ex. He's stuck.
I agree. Yes.
He's stuck. He did very little harm, you know, and instead of trashing him over and over again, which is obvious easy thing to do because, you know, he's obviously somewhat dysfunctional.
Well, he's dysfunctional.
Yeah,
and
but
I
what
actually
you need to do is to bring to him, to yourself and to your children,
yeah,
a sense of respect, and that you'll let the past be a much more fruitful thing that way.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
But we're going to move to another state, though. Our home state, so we're going to start a whole new life.
Sure, but he's still going to be there. He's a part of your life for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Barbara, thank you very much for calling in. I have to be going. We're going to take a short break.
Thank you.
Sure. And when I come back, we'll be taking more of your calls at 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break. We will be back with you in just a couple of minutes, my friends.
See the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Building them castles in the sky, just the two of us. You and I.
Bill Withers, just the two of us. Talk about bonding. You know, but there it is, that very same thing, that bonding. We're finally looking at bonding as being potentially not such a great thing. Because there's an alternative to, there's a thing that happens. If it's just the two of us, then what does that mean? That means not your sister, not your brother, not your mother, not your father. Just the two of us. It's worthy of question. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. If you've just tuned in, we're talking about oxytocin, the bonding chemical, and how it affects you, and how it makes you feel connected on one level, but alienated on another, and its potential for alienation. I can certainly think of two people who are rednecks feeling like they're really closely bonded in the American Rifle Association. You know, I can feel gun club people feeling really bonded, but just as I can feel peaceniks, you know, flower children feeling really bonded. What I look for in life is people who could reach out to everybody. I want it so that if I am bonded with you, you and I are on this team, and the team is called humanity. We're going everywhere. We're not stopping our bunch against their bunch. 212-209-2900. Let's take another of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand DeMille. My name is Darlene.
Hello, Darlene.
Hey, I was calling because... I'm the oldest of nine, and you were talking about bonding, and I feel like it's sort of a distance because being that I'm the oldest, you know, and my brothers and sisters are much younger than me, I had a, you know, sense of responsibility that, you know, they are unaware of. And now that I'm older and they're older, and now it's like I have to take care of them and they're still young, and my mom around, it seems like before I used to have myself distanced where I felt more comfortable.
Yeah.
And now that I'm coming around and, you know, everybody is developing and seeing my personality, I feel sort of distant because everyone looks at me as if I know and I know that the things that I do is right, but everyone around me feel like the things that I'm doing are wrong.
Sure.
So,
well,
you know,
Darlene, you know, it's within one group. When you've grown up with one position in a family and everybody's used to that position, they would rather kill you than let you change. You see, and this is the problem with having these designed roles. I am sure that people outside of the group of your family don't feel that way towards you. So what you need to do is find a new family. You need to get outside of this family and find another family of friends who do not feel that way towards you. Because when somebody has one role, especially the oldest child, they never are allowed out of it by the family. You know?
And then I was thinking maybe I should start my own family.
That sounds like a good idea. What stops you?
The right man. And that's another thing, being the person that I am, I always had a sense of responsibility. So when I'm with someone, I feel like they should have the same responsibilities or either, you know, at least up on my level of what I, like my standard sure. that I look for. But I have someone like that now, but being that I've always been so closed-hearted as far as relationships is concerned, it's hard for me to open up.
Sure. But you know, Darlene, you will when you do. When it happens to you, when your heart opens, it will. So it's not a matter of you got to force your heart open or break it open.
I feel like it's opening now, but like that's I'm right. saying, like change is kind of like, it makes me feel awkward.
Sure. Sure. And we all get awkward with change. You know, it's like when you get taller and you suddenly realize that you could fall down more easily. You know, it's an awkward thing. Darlene, let me make another recommendation to you. Not only do I want you to find it with your man, I want you to find a family with women as well. I want you to find new sisters. And you could find that in any number of groups where you volunteer or you do something that helps people out.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, extend it, because those are the people. Those are the people who see the beauty in you and don't expect you to play just one role. Thank you for calling in, Darlene.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. You know, it's a funny thing about these assigned roles in families. It's once you're in it, it's like the whole family fights to keep you in that role. It's like I've seen sick children who start getting better, and the family does everything they can to keep that child sick because that's the child's role, to be the focus of the illness. You know, the entire family cannot look at themselves because they have one sick member. That sick member starts getting better, the entire family starts doing things that sabotage the person's improvement. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Armand, how you doing?
Good, Monroe. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I enjoyed my last call with you, and I will contact you. But the point is this. I didn't hear anybody say soulmate. And Bill Withers is a real soul singer. I know his name, and I've heard his songs before, you know, this
yeah.
one in particular. And there's something in his voice that just, you know, gets to you. You know what I mean?
It does, right?
Not that other singers aren't great in their own ways. I always say that. Each singer has his specialty. You know what I mean? You know that. But listen, you know, I've been self-pleasuring all my life almost. And then I found this wonderful person. Her name was Naomi. And it was bliss for about 2 years. But she probably was talked to, and I didn't look like I would be the kind of person that would be able to support her if she had some illness or something, you know, that kind of a problem. So the point is, she decided to, shall we say, find some new friends. So anyway, would you believe it that 40 years later she called me from England?
Wow.
Would you believe that?
Wow,
hello.
Monroe, that's amazing.
I know it was her, and I know that, the reason I know it was Naomi was I had taken some photographs of her, and she was like an angel. And the point is, they were beautiful photographs, and she put them in frames and hung them on the wall. And then one day she was bored out of her mind, and she looked at them, and then she wondered, whatever became of Monroe? And the point of the story is that she called me up and I could talk to her about what were the images. Now, no one else would know the images except her, you know what I mean?
So, Monroe, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's a great story. Thank you.
Yeah, so listen to this. The point is that I am looking for other people. She didn't, I gave her my email. I never got an answer. you know, because she didn't want me to call through to her. I treated her very well. You talk about respect. I feel for other people. They have their problems. You know what I mean?
Well, you're a generous man, Monroe. Yes, I'm sure it's going to come your way.
You have to try always for the best of humanity. I really like that, Armand.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you some things you don't know about me. So listen, I'll get off now and let other people. And thanks a lot.
Thank you, Monroe.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always
nice
gone
touch.
Long anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. This house just ain't no home anytime she goes away. And I know, hey, I'll leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Just for you, Monroe. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Armand?
Good.
I know you were speaking about bonding.
Yes.
And I don't know if this relates, but you know, I have a pattern that I'm noticing about myself. Basically, did with women. You know, I found myself pursuing women that I know that it's not going to work. And, you know, the women who fall head over heels for me, I mean, you know, pursue me with every inch of their heart and their spirit, you know, I run away from them. So, I mean, would you consider that a problem?
Sure. What you're doing is you're chasing after the unavailable person. You know, there was a guy named Harry Harlow who had this very interesting thing. He was a scientist. He had these monkeys that were made of wire. And he took these baby monkeys and he put them in the cage with these monkeys that were made of wire. And the babies, of course, having nothing to bond to, bonded to these wire monkeys. At a later time, in one of his experiments, he released some babies and they had a choice of either a live monkey or a wire monkey. And they went to the wire monkey. Sometimes when you're a kid, you look and you see, is my mother available? And you see a mother that's a wire mother. And I'm sure, you know, if you love the unavailable mother, you had a mother who was slightly unavailable. You had to earn her love, earn her goodwill. And so what you do is you repeat life like this, trying to find people whose love you must earn, rather than finding people who just give you their love. So this is a battle. This is a stress. This is a strain. You're just reaching out and reaching out and reaching out.
Yeah, and, but I mean, how do you?
This is the way to do it. Take it in. Take in the good stuff. Take in the good stuff. Put yourself on a diet of letting the love in. Here's a funny story about a man who, remember, he said it was on his birthday. He was laying on a floor. And people were singing him happy birthday, and he was just taking it for granted, you know. And then somebody said to him, take the love in. See what it's like to let yourself be loved. And he cracked open, his chest cracked open, he cried. He said, oh my God, I had this defense against letting myself be loved. So the question is, can you let these good feelings in without feeling an obligation to either return them, to pay the person off, to do anything? Can you let the people who want to reach themselves out to you reach out to you? And that's your experiment. Okay. You don't reach out for anybody. You let them reach towards you because they're already there. And see what it's like.
Right.
See what it's like.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for Thank calling you. In. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Mr. DeVille?
I'm doing good.
Great. First, I want to compliment you on the show.
Thank you.
And moving along, I have a situation now where I have a female who I'm with, and we have a great time, but it's just not that spark that I know exists because I experienced it at like age 7 with a crush. And recently, through Facebook, the crush has gotten back in contact with me. And I really don't know which way to go.
Sure, sure, I understand. You know, let's talk about this kind of spark that we get. There's a part of us called dopamine, and dopamine is one of the neurotransmitters. It's a very important chemical of the brain. It comes with yearning. It comes with having stuff unavailable. People love to feel this kind of reaching out for something. Reaching out gives them a bigger thrill than taking what's there. So what you're discovering about yourself is that part of you is not dead. You have somebody who's with you now where you can feel yourself feeling really comfortable. But what you need to do is to make the comfortable a little uncomfortable by either spacing it out or doing it differently or trying it so it's not so predictable and not getting together at night and ordering a pizza and watching television, but doing something different. And keep different as a key word in your current relationship. Make every day different and you'll watch what happens. A spark comes in. A life comes in. And there's nothing wrong with you chasing your Facebook fantasy as well. You have every right to do that as well, to see it all.
You know, what I didn't want was for that just to be some childhood infatuation. We really had a close bond back then, but we were children, you know.
Yeah, right. Now, so why don't you want it to be a childhood infatuation? What's wrong with that?
I just don't want my emotions to take me down the road that, you know, my intellect probably normally
would.
What's
your name? What's your name?
Demetrius.
Demetrius, Demetrius, I hope your emotions take you down a road. You know, I don't want you to live so that your intellect dominates all of your emotions. I hope you can at least let yourself to just slide along the river of love every now and then, or whatever it is. You can't control it all. I mean, if you do, you do, but then you're all up in your brain. You're a man who needs to be held, needs to be hugged, you know? Needs to be embraced. And you get that by shutting off your mind, letting yourself just feel it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sure, Demetrius. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. How are you?
Good.
Yes, I was talking about the initial bonding of two people.
Yes.
And don't you think that the isolation for a time is necessary?
Well, you know, which
it's like
isolation?
It's like a stage, you know, and then the second stage is like determining, you know, whether the relationship is healthy and can include others.
Well, that's
a
good...
You're really trying to determine what is love or whether you're filling a void.
I don't think... You mean what is love is filling a void? Sometimes...
No. To determine whether you're in love... Or the two people, you know, somebody's just filling a void in themselves so they can determine whether it's healthy or not.
Yeah, I think if you're asking that question, then the answer is you are filling a void. See, if you don't ask the question, you're okay. But if you're asking that very question, then of course you're not really there. Love is a very funny word. I don't even like it as a word. What does it mean? It means if we determine, yes, you are in love and we put a rubber stamp on it, then that means it's valid. Whereas it's not valid if it's not love. I don't even know what word to choose for it. Maybe we're all void fillers for each other, you know? You fill my void, I fill yours. Maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe we're all supposed to avoid each other. And in that way, be together.
But shouldn't we be able to determine whether it's healthy or not so that we can include other people into our lives?
Of course.
After the initial stage?
Of course, but I don't think it's a determination. I don't think it's something you determine. I think it's something you are. You know, for a while you may need a strategy, but I think you go beyond the strategy to just being. You'll get there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Interesting callers. Hi, let's take another call. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there. Hi, shut off your radio, please.
Hello there. Yes, hi.
Shut off your radio, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Good.
Yes.
No, your radio's not off yet.
Oh, that's in the other room. I'm going to run and turn it off right now.
Okay, yes. We'll wait.
There you go.
Ain't no sunshine.
It's all high. How are you?
Up. I still hear that radio.
No, not here. I turned it all off.
Okay, there's something funny about the sound of the voice of you're calling on. It must be a speakerphone or something, but go ahead.
Okay, how's that?
Oh, it's perfect. It's a beautiful thing.
I took the speaker off.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, great. So lucky, because I know you'll be off the air soon, but this is Tommy Thompson.
Hello, Tommy Thompson. Spoke to you before.
This year, I just wanted to quickly ask you, it's so interesting, I got up today and I thought about one of my best friends who I haven't heard from in a while. He's in a relationship and we used to hang out, we were wonderful, great, do a lot of things together, and then he got in this relationship he's been in for about 3 years, and we would connect every now and again, but he's so into his partner. And, just before when the holidays started, you know, I reached out, you know, we hung out a little bit. He's like, oh, you know, I get so busy, you know, with his friend. And, but he, you know, his friend has a lot of, social networks, so he does all of that. But, you know, we'll hang out, and he says, you know, I want to hang out with you more. You know, you're one of my good buddies. I enjoy being with you. And then he just disappears, you know.
Sure.
And I got up today, and I was like, maybe I should just, like, let him be, you know. I was thinking, man, it's the holidays. I hadn't really heard from Roland, and, you know, all this time has gone by. I guess I have to call him again.
Well,
say,
maybe
hey,
you have
don't
to
be-
let him go in a different way. What's your name?
Tommy.
Tommy. Oh, yes, Tommy, right. Tommy, maybe you got to let him go in a different way. Maybe it's not let him go, but let him go just halfway and give him just a little distance, you know? Because certainly, you know, relationships, the odds of relationships lasting are very poor. And you're a good friend. He's somebody that he'll need at some time in the future.
Yeah. And I guess I was feeling like, okay, well, maybe I'll, you know, I was thinking, I haven't heard from him, so, okay, perhaps I'll call him and see how he's doing and reach out.
You know what you should do, Tommy? Call him and tell him you're pissed off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Tell him the truth. Say, I'm sick of you. I'm not going to abandon you, but I'm angry with you, and call me up and we'll get together. But don't leave him. Tell him you're angry and stay in place. That's a good friend.
Wow, cool.
Cool, Tommy. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, now.
Sure. Peace to you. This is Armand DeBille with you with a positive mind. Tomorrow, a special program about surviving tragedies. Surviving tragedies. And keep your eye on Facebook, my friend. We have enough information going up there and programs that we don't even play here on WBAI because they're just short and interesting. And we'll be back with you soon. Facebook, thepositivemind.com.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hand. To hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma.
Mm-hmm.